You know what? Today we're going to carry on with our theme of looking at our values. This series is called This Is What Matters. And this is our third one, which is called Worship. So the values of this church, you can read them on our website. Amazingly, they're under the word values. And worship is the third of six words that we particularly harness to express our values. Okay. Jesus said in John 4:21, oh, and incidentally, you will have noticed today that I've managed to give the reading on the screen in one version and the reading I gave Bill to read in a different version. I can only apologize for that. But Jesus said these words, an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Here we go. Worthy. L'Oreal have this headline, don't they? Because I'm worth it. And actually, in English, the word worthy is really well represented by this, because it does mean that somebody is worth it if they're worthy. And I'm not sure that this man's hair that's on the screen is really that much of a worth it, but it still is an interesting meme that's out there and what have you. But worthy means a little bit more to us than what it means in English alone, because in the Bible languages, the word that's translated worthy in the Old Testament and New Testament is a bit different still. So, shakar means to bow down or prostrate yourself. And that's the Hebrew word for worship. And if you were to worship in a Hebrew sense, you are to throw yourself on the floor or you are to bow down. If I could say this to you, that in a Jewish synagogue, worship is much more a physical thing than it has traditionally been in British Christian churches. I have to say that because worldwide the church is a very vibrant thing. But sometimes we sort of tend to feel that we shouldn't really be behaving like we were at a football match when we're in church. But I've only ever been to one football match in my life, and that was because I said from the pulpit, I have never been to a football match. And immediately afterwards, two guys said, right, we're taking you this week. And besides the fact I've never been back again, which tells you something, it was the most raucous and noisy place that I can ever remember being in. And what I would say is football supporters know more about worship, about being their players are worthy, than we often think about God. And really, we need to understand that God is worth it, and that worship has something to do with prostrating yourself, throwing yourself down in front of God. It's something to do in the New Testament with kissing the hand. The New Testament word is proscunio, and it means either to kiss the hand or to kiss the ground. You've all seen the Pope fly in places and then get down and kiss the airport, cement, concrete, whatever. Well, kissing the ground or kissing the hand of God. That is what worship means in our New Testament. And you say, well, why didn't I know this? Well, you do now know it. Worship is not singing. Now, we tend to, as shorthand words, to say, now we're going to enter a time of worship, when what we mean is singing. Now, singing is wonderful. I really engage with God. I worship God when I'm singing. But singing has got to be more than, sorry, worship has got to be more than just singing. Worship is to do with us putting ourselves in the right place to meet with God. Sometimes that means kissing his hand. You know, if you, in certain circumstances in the past, if you were to meet royalty, they would hold out their hand and you would little kiss and that was it. And it's a traditional thing that you honour somebody with a kiss. And our Jesus, we can really not kiss him because he is spirit, not physical anymore. But we need to understand that he is worth that. And putting him in that place where we will kiss his hand, we will recognize him, we will prostrate ourselves. These things are very important expressions of worship. Now, I have to say to you, if I prostrate myself before God, which I do from time to time, getting up is not as easy as it used to be. But that doesn't mean that you can't try. And all I'm saying to you today is that worship is about being worthy, and that worthiness, we should express it in a way that is biblically correct, which means that we should prostrate ourselves, we should kiss the hand, we should kiss the ground. These things are all relevant, because what we are saying is, God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are better than me. I am just your servant, and we want to recognize the goodness of God. So worship has got something to do with posture and attitude. It's got something to do with expressing that God is senior to us, that God is more powerful, that he is the leading one in the room. It's not us. He is the important one. So God is worthy of praise, and praise is about giving thanks, and we give thanks with our voices and in our hearts, in our heads, and we do praise a lot with song. And all I'm saying is, let's not get praise and worship too mixed up, but we can worship God with song. We can express lots of things. I mean, some of the ideas we have expressed in the songs this morning, they're very powerful ideas, but it's all about God is higher, God is better, God is above, and we need to recognize that. Okay, so encounter. Encounter is another word that we link with worship. I love this kid, obviously going down a roller coaster. He's having an encounter. I'm not sure if he's about to have an encounter with his contents of his stomach, but he's a bit scared. But you know what? When we really meet with God, we can have an encounter that is just as real as what that kid is having now. You know, sometimes when I'm worshiping God, I go very quiet. Now, you're supposed to say, Stephen, you're winding me up. Since when were you ever quiet? Sometimes I really get a sense of the quietness coming upon me. Now, remember, you don't have to be quiet very often with God, because it says, and there was quietness for a period of half an hour in heaven. So there's only half an hour in heaven that it happens. That's just a reality. But whatever we're doing, to express our hearts to God. This is something that we can do when we are worshipping, and we're worshipping God, whether it's noisy, whether it's quiet, whatever's happening. And I want to encourage you to express your heart to God. What's really important is that we are expressing our hearts to God. Not that we are following somebody's pattern. So it's really important that we recognize that encounter is part of worship. We are actually coming here to encounter the living God. Now you say to me, can't I encounter God at home? Of course you can. But it's also very important that we encounter God as a corporate group. That's what being church is all about. We are a group. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And we meet him as a church. It's important that we think of that. When I was a young man, we used to meet every New Year's Eve at 11:30 for prayer. 11:30 while about 12:30. And we would pray in the new year, and then we would pray for what the new year was bringing us and stuff, and then we would go home. And there was something quite exciting about going out at New Year's Eve at 11:30 and coming back at 12:30. It was really, really, very good. But there was one year I can remember, it was before I was married, where I remember saying, God, this year I want you to be more real to me outside of the church than you are in. And you know what? That year, God was so real to me wherever I was. He didn't stop being real to me in church, but he was very real to me when I was in my vehicle, when I was walking down the street, when I was at work, wherever I was, God was very real to me. And it taught me this, that encountering God is something we can do all the time. We can encounter God in the morning. We can encounter God in the afternoon. We can encounter God in the evening. And whereas in those days, and Gwen will testify to this, in those days we would meet for church six times a week. You can remember that, can't you, June? The days when we went from meeting to meeting. I'm not saying we should go back to that, but what I am saying is, whether I was in a meeting or whether I wasn't, I was meeting with God. And I want to encourage you to encounter God. And that means us learning to have a life of worship. Sometimes I look around me and then I speak in tongues in the middle of Tesco's. You know, sometimes just expressing your heart to God is really important. And the wonderful thing about a city as busy and as noisy as York is you can pray in tongues down the middle of the street and no one will notice. The funny thing is, I was walking through town on last Wednesday, and the first person that came towards me was speaking. I think they were Polish. The second person that came towards me was speaking. They were German. They're all on the telephone. They're talking to people that are not there. I mean, once upon a time, you would have thought these people had lost a screw, the way they're talking. So, but, you know, and I'm going along and I thought, if I'm praying in tongues when I'm walking through, there's nothing strange about that at all. And we shouldn't really ever think there is anything strange about worshipping God. We should just get on with it. Having a life of encounter, having a life of worship is critical to the success of our lives. I would go that far as to say that. You see, I don't just want to be a Christian by name. I want to see Jesus. Some Greeks once came to the apostles, one of them talking to Philip and saying, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And you know, I feel like those Greeks, because I mean, technically I'm a Greek, because in those days you were either a Greek or a Jew. You were either, a Greek was a Gentile in effect. And I'm a Gentile. But thank God that when I want to say to Philip, Philip, I want to see Jesus, I don't actually have to go through Philip. I just go straight to Jesus. And he is there and he wants to meet with us too. Sir, they said, we want to see Jesus and I want to see him. I want us to make sure that when we're coming to worship, we're not just having our favourite songs. There's nothing wrong with having a favourite song. But, you know, it's not about having a favourite song. It's meeting Jesus. We have got to express our heart. And didn't the worship band do great this morning? Really good. It was great to see JT up there again. And Xander did a great job. And Libby did a great job. Even with a croaky voice, bless her. But thank God we have that opportunity this morning to encounter God. And we just need to make sure that we're on the for the ride of our lives like this young fella. And that's how we should be doing this. Remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I'd go so far to say that if, when we're coming here, if we don't have an encounter with Jesus, what on earth are we bothering for? Really? Really? If we are just showing up because it's what people do, well, God have mercy on us. I want to see Jesus. And I'm sure that we can all do that together. Okay. Journey. We can have a journey of worship. The journey of worship is not one where once a week we come and sing in 43 Monkgate, but it's a lot bigger. I just want to say to you today that life is a journey of worship. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like you've woken up. Sometimes you want to splash water on your face, get in the shower as quick as you can, and even half an hour later you're not quite sure if you're wide awake. Other mornings there's a spring in your step. But it shouldn't matter what your natural feelings are, your natural inclinations. Our default position should be to worship God. Now, I know there are things we have to do once we are awake. I know for me, that's make my wife a cup of tea. But you know, even when I'm boiling the kettle, I can stand there worshipping God. And I just want to say to you, life is a journey. You can't see over the horizon, can you? You can't see over the horizon. But you can see a while ahead. Whenever we go to Bridlington, there's this sign and it says Blind Summit Ahead. Thank you. I couldn't remember what the sign said then for a minute. Blind Summit Ahead. Sometimes, very quickly, you get to a point where you cannot actually see what's ahead, so you slow down. But when you get to the top, you are, okay, you can see what's coming. And what we need to remember is our journey is one at which we have very limited viewpoints. We have very limited sight. We can't always see what's coming up on the bend. This road that's on your screens now is incredibly straight, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful how straight it is. And you know it's not in Britain, not because of the good weather, because we're having good weather today, but because there are no potholes in the road. But our journey, it can be straight or it can be uneven. It can be all sorts of directions, but our journey can be one with worship. One where we're just stopping and talking to God. Sometimes I find it the most releasing thing to be shouting praise while I'm driving. And I remember once driving along and shouting my praises, and of course I do actually try not to close my eyes when I'm driving. And there's this guy coming towards me, and he was clearly looking at me gobsmacked, and his mouth was wide open. And I had to have a real good laugh, because I thought, I must have looked like a crazy man. But you know what? On that journey of life, there is nothing stopping me worshipping God. And we just need to remember, we might not know what's coming up, but worshipping will prepare our hearts for anything. Thanking God for what he's done for us and for who he is, that will really help prepare us for what's down the road. So our journey in life should be a journey of worship. And Romans 12 talks about things this way. It says, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, can you just, when you hear that, just think of prostrating yourself, of throwing yourself down before God? That makes sense, doesn't it? If I present my body as a living sacrifice, I'm throwing myself down. That's your shachar, your Hebrew word for worship. That is what it means. And it goes on to say, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual worship. So our worship is presenting ourselves to God. Now, there's this word that gets used a lot in the scriptures about, it's translated in the NIV as devoted. You see it a lot in the Old Testament, and it says the sacrifice was devoted to God, or that the sheep was devoted to God, or whatever. And that devoted, it just means to be presented to God as a sacrifice. And you know, our lives on this journey of worship, we should present them to God as a sacrifice. And that presentation is in itself worship. So, worship isn't always happy. I would go so far as to say I think it's always joyful, but joy and happiness can be quite separate. You know, happiness is really an emotional response. Joy is often a choice, and we choose to rejoice. If you read David in the Psalms, if you read Paul in the letters, they rejoiced as a matter of choice. They decided, right, I'm going to rejoice now. We can release joy in our hearts because we have chosen on our journeys in life to worship God at times when it may not be straightforward or obvious. But today, I throw myself down before God. I throw myself down. I reach out take the hand of Jesus to kiss it. That's that proscute, whatever it word was, that Greek word. I can't say it because I haven't got it written in front of me right now. But that word, that means to kiss the hand. That is New Testament worship. Whether you're doing Old Testament worship, whether you're doing New Testament worship, it's all worship, and we need to learn to worship God. We need to have our encounters. We need to have our journey. And that's why this is such a key value for us as a church. So this is what it says on our website. It says, worship. We value the opportunity to enjoy spiritual encounters and experiences with God, to journey through life with him, to talk to him and to thank him. There are some people, and I was going to say they call themselves Christians, but I think they are Christians, who would say to you, oh, all this experience stuff, oh, we don't do any of that. These are people who, when they go to church, they look like they're going to the dentist. And when they come out of church, you think they've just been to the dentist. These are people who don't quite see things the way we do. But I do believe that these are people who, in general, have received from God salvation, and I thank God for them. But I just want to say to you that it's important to us about experience. It's important to us about encounters. You know, we talked about angels earlier on, and there are three very, very distinct episodes in my life where I had a real personal encounter with an angel. Now, there are probably another half dozen where I've been normally in this building or with this church, with this group of people, and angels have appeared. Maybe not personally, it was more a corporate experience. But what's really important is that we can have spiritual encounters, spiritual experiences. It isn't all about the natural. It isn't all about what the Word says. What the Word says is the final word. Jehovah is the final word. We really do count on what our Bible teaches us. It's a big deal to us in this church. But spiritual encounters are also important. And I just want to ask you to think about this week, because it's one of these values that we're highlighting once again. I looked this week, it's 6 years since we spoke on this subject. 6 years. Well, it's about time we looked at them again. Worship is a value, and our values define who we are. And I want to say to you today, be sure that you know who you are, and be sure where your values are, and above anything else, live your life as in worship encounters, in a journey of worship. Will you do that with me? Come on, let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just say, Lord, you're worthy. You're really worthy. We honour you. We worship you. We express our hearts to you. Lord, sometimes we use words that we get mixed up in. Sometimes maybe they're not the ideal words, but they are the expression of our heart to you. And Lord, that's all we're asking, is that you might always allow us to express ourselves to you. Father God, we just pray that this week you will be pleased with our worship. We hope, Lord, you've been pleased with it this morning, but we pray that as we leave this place, you will continue to be pleased with the worship of your people. As we say simple thanks, as we express our gratitude, as we thank you for who you are, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.